This is the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, episode 84. Well, good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. This podcast is exactly what the title says it is, folks. It's a show we focus on everything to do with fantasy books. We talk about epic fantasy and urban fantasy. We talk about grimdark and swords and sorcery. Everything in between, we try to bring you the best and brightest authors from all the various corners of the fantasy book world and get them here on the show so that you can meet them and find out what kind of books they write and find the books for you to read. As always, I start off this week's episode with my own personal author update. I started writing book 3 of the Huntress Clan Saga this week. It's a great way to kick off the new year. Book 2, Huntress Apprentice, is at the editor and is slated to come out on the 15th of January, which is exciting. I'll let you know a little more about that and when to expect it in the next episode. But in the meantime, check out the first book in the series, Huntress Initiate. That's Huntress Clan Saga Book 1. As always, you can check out more information on what I'm up to by visiting my fan group on Facebook, and that is over at Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers, or on my website, blog, and of course my Facebook author page. All can be found at Jamie Davis Books or jamiedavisbooks.com. I look forward to hearing from you, so reach out and contact me however you'd like, and I'll get back to you right away. On today's show, I am excited to bring back author Sarah Nofke. She's returning to us to talk about her brand new series. Now, if you heard her episode about 6 months ago, you might remember we talked a little bit about her upcoming series, but she wouldn't give us a whole lot of details, only that it was a spinoff from her amazing Unstoppable Liv Bouffant series. That is all wrapped up. She wrote 12 books in that series, and she's now kicked off a brand new series, and she talks about that. The first book in that new series, The Uncommon Rider, is out. This is the first in the Exceptional S. Bouffant series. It's about Sophie Bouffant, which is Liv's younger sister. She's the first dragon rider in more than a century and the only girl to ever receive the honor. Needless to say, Sophia is about to shake things up. So check out my chat with Sarah about her brand new series and what she's been up to coming up next. Hi, Sarah. It's great to have you back here on the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I'm so excited to chat with you again.
Thank you. It's so great to be here. One of my favorite people.
Yeah, and you too, definitely. And I'm so glad we got a chance to talk because you actually hinted at the series we're going to talk about today the last time we talked. You couldn't tell us a whole lot about it. So I'm hoping we can dig in and interest the folks that have read your other books and are looking forward to reading this too.
It's so cool to be able to look back and see like you're talking about, because I now remember that. And I was like, oh, wait, I'm not sure if we should talk about it. And then the series was so new that it was like, well, are we going to get to that spinoff? We hope so. But like, you know, you've been doing this long enough to know that it just kind of depends, you know, if you have a fallout, then you don't keep going. So anyways, I'm so glad to be here and looking back on it all.
So, I mean, I'm a huge fan of the Unstoppable Liv Bouffant series. I haven't finished it, but I'm a few books in. It's hard when you're doing a podcast where you have to read a lot of books.
Right.
Those are my list of like read for fun books, which are like just a relief to just kind of dig in, and I laugh and I'm excited. And so I can't wait. I just started reading the new series because I figured what the heck, I'll skip around. This series is a spinoff from the first series, right?
It is. And that was one of the things I learned a lot of this from Michael. Let the readers decide, you know? So when the Liv Bouffant series started to take off, I was, of course, really grateful, but I knew that there would be an end in sight. So what's our next project? And we let them decide. And there's a demon hunter that's in the books. And I really thought that that was going to be our spinoff. You know, maybe I was gunning for like the dark, handsome, you know, type and as the new main character. But they picked Liv's sister, Sophia Bouffant, who's this very precocious young magician. She has her talents at a young age, younger than anybody else. And she's really talented, of course. But she's also really sweet and humble because she kind of just grew up by herself. And so she got a Dragon Rider series, which I never expected. But the fans voted.
Well, and I love the series title because the exceptional Sophia Buffon, or S. Buffon, as you have the series listed, is just exciting to kind of, I love the adjective that you use in front of both your series, because I think it sets an expectation for the reader that is spot on.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. Michael, I was really instrumental in picking those. Some of them I think I had were like kind of a mouthful, and he's like, that's not going to work. But I really liked having that. And it speaks to our main character because, you know,
she's exceptional.
Exactly. And I mean, a lot of it is this girl power and stuff. So one of the reasons we chose S. Buffon instead of Sophia Buffon is, and everybody can read this from the blurb, it's not us, whether she's the first Dragon Rider in 100 years, and she's the first female Dragon Rider. And so when she shows up with all of these old crusty Dragon Riders who have been doing this for 500 years, and, you know, they've got their own ways of doing things, and in pops in this modern, you know, 18-year-old LA girl, and they keep wondering, S. Buffon, you know, is it Steve Buffon? Is it Sean? Is it Scott? And little S. Buffon walks in, and it's Sophia. So that was kind of the background for that.
And it seems like those Buffon sisters like to stir up things. They tend to upset the status quo. It's something they're good at.
Absolutely. Yeah. At one point, it was when I started to do the Sophia series, I was really cognizant that I wanted Sophia to be distinctly different from Liv while still being similar to her. You know, like, we're family members, so we're going to share some traits, but siblings, I have a bunch of them. I know none of us are alike. But at one point, Michael and I are talking, and he's like, well, she's going to, you know, fight for justice. And I was like, yeah, that seems like a Liv thing. And he goes, no, Sarah, this is going to be a Buffon thing. You know, the Buffons fight for justice. So yeah, that's definitely where it came in with the sisters.
No, that's great. And we, you know, we've talked about Michael a little bit in the last one, but Michael Anderle is actually going to be on the podcast. He may actually have been on at the time people are listening to this, but he's such a prolific writer in his own right. And then the collaborations he's done with me, with you, you know, tell us a little bit about what it's like working with him and how the two of you work the collaboration so that you come up with this amazing series, two amazing series.
It's not the most straightforward of processes. And I've collaborated with other people, and with Michael, it's much more organic. Like, we sit on the phone and literally just start having this conversation, and I'll go off on diatribes. That's what I'm really good at. And I'm sitting here talking to him about, you know, dating life in LA or something ridiculous that I did. And he's just kind of like, lets it flow. And then all of a sudden, like, bam, an idea just starts to spark. And it's interesting. I have these notebooks, and I showed it to him when we were in Vegas, and it's the Michael notes. And I write them really, really fast. And then afterwards, I'm like, I have no idea what this says. But there's always these like little gems that he will throw in. And it's funny because my daughter's listening to the Liv Buffon series right now. She's on book one. And last night she's in the bath listening on audio, and she just burst out laughing at one point. And I have these little stars in the notebooks, and it's always a Michael thing. And it's like, he'll just randomly go, she needs to get drunk and tell them that they're ugly. And I'm like, okay. And then he, you know, like, I think that they say something like, you need to go sober up. And she's like, well, you're still going to be ugly. Lydia burst out laughing. And I was like, it's a Michael moment, you know? And so I told her, I was like, Michael has these moments. So I have these stars. Anyways, I'm doing a poor job of answering your question, but it's just so collaborative. It's so weirdly back and forth. And I just try to capture like the essence of what he's saying, and then like stick it into the outlines as we go. So it's kind of weird. Has that been your experiences, or how do y'all do it? Is it more linear?
His and mine are a little bit different than yours. It's more of a business collaboration than a writing collaboration, although there's some crossover input. But I think with Michael, the things I've seen are very similar to that. You know, his books are like that. I mean, his books are full of these like just moments that stand out. And so you read the books and it's these scenes, these moments that, you know, that define the characters that he writes. And the same as can be seen in your books. You're right. I think it's those moments that he just pictures the defining moment that kind of solidifies a character trait, solidifies a defiance, as you pointed out in that particular instance. You're still going to be ugly. You know, I'm just because I'm going doesn't mean that I'm not going to like stand up for what I just said. Even something as silly as that. And I think that's something that he's good at capturing, which is one of the reasons I think he's so popular with readers, because they take that feeling, you know, the books that make you laugh out loud are few and far between. And so when you have even one of those moments in a book, you remember that book.
Oh, absolutely. And you captured it spot on. I mean, he does help those defining moments. So you just have to, he moves so fast that I feel like I have to like catch it, you know, and be like, okay, don't let that one slip through, or otherwise we've lost, you know, that little nugget of gold. But yeah, I mean, it just takes a lot of drilling down, I think, whenever we're coming up with a series. And I get really speculative and really quiet, and Michael does a lot of talking, and like, he'll even be like, are you still there? Are you listening? Is it? And I'm like, I just get very much in my head. And then all of a sudden I write all these notes and then I come up with it. So it's been a really interesting process, because I won't admit to playing very well in other people's sandboxes, you know? So the point that Michael and I can collaborate, I think, speaks a lot to him rather than me.
No, well, and he's just done such a good job with working with so many authors in similar situations. And I think he's come up with a system that works really well for him and for a variety of different people. And I know that like you and he have pretty much plotted out this series, right? You've got 12 books kind of thought out, or at least the bare bones of them, correct? You know where you're going.
We do. And I mean, that was really surprising, because, you know, we have this brand new series that's a spinoff, and we just didn't really know what to expect. Dragon Riders, you know, I had never done that before. So we were actually only budgeted to do about 2 to 3 books, and we were going to play it by ear and see how they did. And, you know, once again, the readers dictate what we are going to do. And the first book did, I'm so grateful, exceptionally well. Second book just came out yesterday, which would be December 18th. And it's doing very well too. So yeah, we decided to go for 12. And that's really exciting, because it's nice to know, you know.
Right. And Magitech Rises is out for pre-order already, coming out on January 31st, which is exciting.
Yes, exactly. That'll be the end of our first arc. And I'm really excited for where it's going to go after that, because it's a whole different take on dragon riders. I was really worried about riding dragons, because I was like, I don't think I could do epic, you know, I'm not an epic kind of fantasy girl, but doing this modern aspect has been super fun.
Yeah. You know, I have a series that dragons came into as well. And it was a surprise to me that I was like, oh, dragons. Okay. and I had the same thought, because I'm an urban fantasy writer, where, you know, dragons don't typically appear in urban fantasy stories.
No.
Yeah. You know, because where do you hide a dragon?
You can't, they're impractical.
Yeah. So, but you know, it ended up being integral to the ending of that series, you know, that there had to be dragons, because the dragons had to help solve the problem that was going on in that series.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
I love it. And I love that you didn't see it coming, because that's like one of those nuances of being a writer.
Yeah,
people think that we know everything.
The people do. You're like, oh, you have it all planned out. It's like a movie script in your head. And those are the moments that actually make writing such a joy for me. And I know for you and a lot of other authors I talk to is, you know, when the character says, if you talk to a reader and say, yeah, I was writing this down, and then the character said something I completely didn't expect, and they're like, didn't you come up with that?
You would think. No.
No, No, and I think that that's something that, again, those aha moments, the defining moments, I think most often for me have come out of those surprises when the character does something I didn't expect. The character completely in with their persona and their personality does something that I wasn't planning on them to do, that and takes the story in a slightly different direction. And it's those moments of surprise, I think, also surprise the reader, because when I plan things out, I have a plot and storyline and what I'm going to do. But I still find that there's a challenge with the places where I have to like kind of weave around. It's not a straight line.
Absolutely. And if you're surprised, you know, the readers are going to be surprised. And I don't know, I think that that's where the magic for writing comes in for me, because I can plot so much, but it's really amazing when something that I didn't even know why I threw into book one, but I just did it, from instinct, all of a sudden is the saving grace at the very end of the 12 book series. And I'm like, oh dear. Like I didn't, that gave me, chills. I call that my in spirit moments, because I think of inspiration as being in spirit, and I like to think of like this cosmic force and being connected. We don't have to like get into all this, stuff, but I don't know. For me, it's like, wow, that always reminds me, I'm not the one actually writing the story. Like I'm just the channel. I don't know. Probably a little metaphysical there.
No, but I think that there are things that connect all of us. And that's one of the reasons why telling stories is so integral to the human experience. We've been telling stories since we first got to sit around a campfire in the dark and talk about what was out there, and share our experiences. And we can do that even through fiction, even through telling fake stories, we can share an experience with our readers that is something very real to us and to them, hopefully.
I love it. I have a reader that has been real close to me since the beginning. And she often jokes and she says, I think that you're just, you just see another parallel universe and you just tell their stories. She's like, I'm certain of it. Like that you just have this access to your brain. And I'm like, I like it, who knows?
It explains a lot for a lot of, I think, authors, if that was the case, if we all kind of connect in some way with some alternate version of this earth and see something that no one else sees. It's funny, at the end of the podcast, people hear, the ending of the show, I always end it with the same thing. Keep your eyes open, folks, because there's magic all around you. And I honestly believe that. I honestly believe that there are magical moments, whether you believe in God or karma or whatever it might be. There are miracle magic moments going on all around us all the time, big and small. And all we have to do is open our eyes and see them. And that's helps us see the wonder of life and the good things that are going on around us. And I think that's part of it. The magic is really there if you just have to see it.
I love it. I love the way you put it. And it's such a good reminder that we can't just, we have to actually be like, okay, I can see this, because if we don't, then we just get into the humdrum of life. Real quick, I always say to myself in the morning, I can see the unseen, know the unknown. That to me is kind of a way to trigger those things. I started doing this years ago when I got into physics and quantum physics, because I really like the way that it helps me to interpret my world. Anyways, so I went outside after saying this first thing in the morning, and in the trees were all of these bright yellow and green parakeets, and they were all over the place. And they were like the size of parrots, but they were, parakeets, but they were wild parakeets is what I learned. And so the electrical guys, they're checking the meter, and I point up and I'm like, do you see all of these like crazy tropical birds? Keep in mind, I'm in Dallas, Texas at the time. Sorry. Should have led with that. Anyways, he's like, what is going on? And so then I go and I talk to my friends. I find out the parakeets were always there. They were a wild group of parakeets that had gotten out and mated and became huge. And they were living in my tree, but I'd never seen them until I started saying, I can see the unseen, know the unknown, because I think I opened up the access door to say, I can see things that are there that I'm not used to seeing. if that makes sense.
No, so. It absolutely makes sense. And I think that that's, you know, one of the reasons I say, you know, end the show that way is because I think that there are things in our fantasy stories that very much pertain to our real world and lessons to be learned and themes to be explored. And so that's so important. I mean, you do that very much with exploring, the rebellious side that we all need to have to just kind of stand up to things that we stand up for things. As you said, the bouffants fight for justice. That's something that's important for all of us to do and keep in mind, because if some of us don't fight for justice, who will? And it can be, you know, something as simple as, saying to somebody, don't butt in line. These people have been waiting a long time, or something much larger. And I think that, ultimately, it falls to each of us to stand up and make our place a better place. And you've been a prime example of that. It's been great knowing you and reading your books. Uncommon Rider is out.
Yes.
And the as you said, the second book in the series just dropped very recently, and that is Arbitrate or Die, which I can't wait to get to that one. That sounds fascinating.
And another Michael title.
Yeah, well, no, it kind of lays out the situation. Okay, there's death at stake here, so we've got to find out what's going on.
And that's the role of the dragon riders, is they're arbitrators. They're the adjudicators of the world. So it's kind of fun to see how that's going to play out, like we're talking about with justice and stuff, because it's not black and white.
No, it's not. And that's going to be a hard lesson for Sophia to learn, I expect, because she's 18, even though she's a 10-year-old. I know there's some things involved with that people will discover as they read the books, but
It's magic.
It's magic.
At the end of the day,
that's how we explain so many things. But she's still young in some ways, and so her experiences are going to broaden, and she's going to learn some hard lessons, because I think that's something that has to happen. You can't be a good dragon rider if you don't, right?
Absolutely, lessons of the heart, and I don't know. Sometimes people losing is part of it. Not everybody can win when you're the judge and the jury, right?
Right.
So. She's been a really fun character to follow, though, I think mostly because she brings a fresh perspective to a very old world. So I had a lot of fun. We talked about the inspiration was my daughter, Lydia, and she was the inspiration early on. So I think that really helps, and I know that you've ridden with, your daughters and mine. It gives us a different motivation, right?
It absolutely does. My daughters are, grown now. I mean, my youngest just turned 21 this year. And, but I wrote early on, I wrote stories. I wanted them to see and say, I can model myself after these characters. They're strong. They're women who know what they want and know how to get it. And,
nice.
And I think that's an important thing. I'm not saying strong female characters anymore, because somebody told me that it shouldn't have just be strong female characters, it should be strong characters. So I write about women who know what they want and know how to go get it. And that's what I want my daughters to do in life, and know that they have that opportunity and can go get it for themselves. So
it's a great motivation. I love it.
Definitely.
I bet that they love your books.
They've read a few of them. Actually, they're enjoying them more as audiobooks now that the audiobooks are out. So like your daughter, listening to the stories rather than reading them. So that however they want to consume them is fine with me, or not. I don't, require that my kids to sit down and read my books.
It'd be so funny, like over the dinner table. Well, it's from that one book if you would have read it.
Actually, I don't say that, but Amy does, my wife.
Good for Amy.
So they comment, well, if you'd read your father's book, you would have known he wrote a scene just like that.
Oh my God. And she's your first reader, so she knows the books. Yes. I love it. And you hold them accountable to it. I love it.
Definitely. So you talk a lot about fans. Real quick, it's important for us to connect with our readers and people that are checking in on our books. What's the best way? How do you prefer to... some of these people listening are going to read your books and they want to maybe reach out to you. What's the best way to do that?
I love it. So I'm on Facebook a lot, probably way too much. Jamie, just see me on there and be like, Sarah, you have a book to write.
You should do the same for me. So
But yeah, I mean, I just love the groups and I love, you know, interacting with you and I love seeing what my fellow authors are doing. But so I'm always on there and I have, you know, a Facebook page. We have LMBPN ladies. There's a lot of LMBPN groups that, you know, but people can message me. I'm very accessible. You can go to my website. It's sarahnofke.com. And from there, you can see links to all my social media. So really, there isn't a bad way. I mean, I'm probably not on Goodreads. So don't message. I used to be on Goodreads and used to love the interaction there. It's too much noise. So Facebook's great. You can always send me emails. And I love hearing from readers. And I do answer all of them. So
awesome. Well, Sarah, thanks for coming back on the show. You've joined that very small list of people that are repeat interview here on the show. I think there's one other person that came back on, but I just had to have you back on. This new series is so exciting and I know folks are going to really enjoy it. So I'm happy to share it and share you and your experience and stuff. So thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. This was a blast.
That's going to wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Make sure you catch up with us for a whole lot more from the Fantasy Focus community, both over on Facebook and over on fantasy-focus.com. If you do get over there to the website, make sure you leave a comment on this episode either there or in the Facebook group and let me know what's on your mind. Also on the website, on each podcast episode post, you'll find links to subscribe to the show on your favorite mobile app for iOS, Android. You can even subscribe by email, but you'll want to do that. You don't want to miss any of the upcoming episodes. We have some amazing authors coming up scheduled in the next few months, and you don't want to miss them. We've got Brian D. Anderson, we've got JT Williams, and a bunch more, and you'll definitely want to catch those upcoming episodes. That's it for this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis, author of Fun Fantasy Reads. Don't forget to follow me over on Facebook. You can do that on my author page at Jamie Davis Books and my website, jamiedavisbooks.com, or in my Fun Fantasy Readers group, where we talk about all sorts of things to do with fantasy books, not just my books. Whatever you do, though, subscribe and come back here for the next podcast. And while you're at it, make sure you keep your eyes open, folks, because like I say every week, you're missing it if you don't see that there's magic all around you.